Jolly old Saint Nicholas, lean your ear this way. Don't you tell a single soul what I'm gonna say. Christmas time is coming soon, now you dear old man. Whisper what you've got for me, tell me if you can. Jingle, jingle, tinkle, tinkle, sleigh bells in the snow. It's jolly old St. Nicholas and his reindeer, don't you know?
Ho, 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 jingle, 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 tinkle, 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 sleigh bells in the snow.
Ho, ho,
it's jolly old St. Nicholas and his reindeer, don't you know?
Like to be with you on your midnight ride. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, and Comet by your side. Vixen, Blitzen, Donder too, pull your magic sleigh. Cupid will be right along, jingling all the way. Jingle,
Welcome
jingle,
back.
Tinkle, tinkle, sleigh bells in the snow.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Tuesday, December 20th, 2022. If we are so much more enlightened these days, perhaps somebody wants to give a, you know, if we're so much more enlightened, then obviously, generally speaking, we are much more sophisticated, intellectually speaking. And so we're all running around giving commentaries on Blackstone, commentaries on his commentaries, and critiquing Jefferson and Washington and Franklin and, you know, the other intellectual firebrands of American history and beyond. Is that what's happening, or did I miss that? Yet we're supposed to believe that we're so much smarter and better and sophisticated and civilized and so on and so on and so on. But the opposite is happening. You'd be hard-pressed to find, I don't know, five people that could quote, I don't know, our founding documents together in the same room, let alone offer any kind of, you know, to see these folks discussing these things in any sort of intelligent fashion. That is a bygone concept. All right, just to finish quickly, announcements and to the phone. So point number 10, hierarchical work is so quietly and smoothly developed and so effectively expressive of expanding human consciousness. There's that. That when it is well advanced, it appears quite natural and reasonable in the early stages. However, generally it is radical and even revolutionary. And often meets determined opposition. Because hierarchical work is always in advance of human consciousness and is seeking to lead the entire human family forward, it is always pioneering. Accepted disciples, therefore, working consciously at the plan are spiritual pioneers and must have the courage that goes with that position and must have the perseverance which is required to produce fundamental changes. Is it me, or does this sound like religious language? The next section, it says, all works according to the plan under the guidance of the spiritual hierarchy. Who is that? Ignorance and greed are the main hindrances. Spiritual education cures one. Goodwill and action cures the other. But it's all self-directed. The Holy Spirit obviously is nowhere to be found in any of this. There's an antichrist spirit at work in it, though. The work of disciples, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Two basic needs. The two basic needs today are trained workers, adequate financing. That's the real reason for Cecil Rhodes' last will and trust, the agglomeration of wealth and the crashing of economies, the looting of retirement funds writ large, and so on and so on. This is what that's really all about. The rest is a cover story. A limited hangout for that. So what is all of this religious hocus pocus? The hierarchy works through its disciples and co-workers in all countries, and never before have there been so many endeavoring to fit themselves for this function in the world as transmitters of the plan, quote-unquote. This has been around for decades. What is this all about? Why does Bill Gates support this and the Gates Foundation? They've been notable sponsors of this, speaking of high-profile names. We'll come back to that. So, announcements, perhaps you've heard, we will be closed. RBN will be closed for the holidays. Closed for business over Christmas and New Year's. So, this Friday, can you believe it? December 23rd to the 26th, we will be closed for business. And then again the following week, New Year's, January 1st and 2nd. Closed, we are, speaking of closed, we're closing in on Christmas and New Year's. Christmas, 5 days away. But not really 5 days, it's less than that, isn't it? 4 days, 13 hours, 53 minutes and change, but who's counting? New Year's, 12 days away. But really, 11 days, 13 hours, 53 minutes and change. But who's counting? Perhaps you've heard we're having a book drive. RBN's John Stabmiller book drive. Now through January 8th, donate $100 plus for an opportunity to receive a book previously owned by John Stabmiller himself. Winners announced every Sunday evening during hour two of Off the Beaten Path with Steve Elkins. 8 p.m. Central. Entrants who do not win a book will carry over into the next week's drawing. Congratulations to previous winners, Robert, Tyler, David, Ingrid, Gary, Sharon, Renee. Thank you all for your generosity, and thank you to everyone. All donations are much appreciated and gratefully received. Thank you to everyone for keeping RBN and the Big Guy's legacy alive. This week's book, By Way of Deception. Didn't I just mention that recently? Anyway. Thou Shalt Do War. By Way of Deception, a devastating insider's portrait of the Mossad by Victor Ostrovsky and Claire Hoy. So there's that. Before we dive back down the rabbit hole to the phones. And Chris in Virginia. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes, sir. Thanks for letting me call into the show again. Chris. actually, so the plan is the plan, and I heard a commercial last hour about the guy filling in for John Stabmiller, and he was talking about the J6 prisoner, and when he talked about how the Biden administration denied benefits to that man's wife, I keep going back to this, Chris. I keep coming back to this because my heart aches for this worse than anything, and I would die on this hill. But I think going back to your plan, that's part of their plan, that they know that we're all of us collectively are letting this happen, and it's so horrible. Why would any human being, knowing that a veteran's wife is going to have her money cut off? And it just makes me want to cry, Chris. It's so horrible. We're letting it happen. And that's probably the worst thing of all, of everything that's happening today, worse than COVID, that a human being is caged. And not only that, but their family suffers. I cannot believe we're letting this happen, and I just think it's indicative to the plan that you talk about, that they know, no matter what kind of big game anybody out here talks, no matter what talk radio you listen to, no matter what, at the end of the day, we got you. Mm-hmm. They look at us, and we got you by the balls. They know it.
Yeah, and you're supposed to feel hopeless and helpless and powerless and all those kinds of things. But that's why I keep coming back to this idea of prayer and, you know, spiritual warfare, essentially. That's why I focused on it for several weeks, kind of weaving in and out of that. Things are dire in a particular sense. You know, it's easy to look around and say, man, there's much reason for concern. But if we stop and all of those concerns lead us to pray, and we maybe get together, two or three of us, and we walk through our town early in the morning or late at night, and you know, just pray over one another and each other's businesses and those kinds of things, it always, that seems to have a result that is, well, it defies the probabilists.
One thing, my wife and I, she works from home, and I worked in hospitals, was doing security work, and I thought I was going to have to quit doing security because I was not going to take the jab, and my wife is the same way, and we think it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual litmus test. In our opinion, and what you just mentioned, I think because our lives have not been touched at all, she kept her job, never lost.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And then I kept my job, but
and people say, how is that possible? It's probably not, but you know what I mean. Like, there's something that
happened. God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell
you
real quick. I thought I was going to have to hang up the security work as far as working in hospitals. And I was resigned to that, and what happened was, not only she kept her job, but I actually took an interview with a man who came to town here in Virginia and was going to take over a network of hospitals, and he asked me if I had the jab, and I was like, nope, guess this interview's over. I walked away, and he called me back later on and said, hey, yeah, they don't really check, so if you just keep it to yourself. And I took the job. Next thing you know, I have the best job I've ever had in my life, Chris. And I'm working in hospitals. And I'm not jabbed. I'm pure blood. And I think
Amazing.
It's because of God. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm grateful.
People who are not familiar might be interested to look into David Crowley's gray state and see. You know, I mean, this was, it's always a dry run. It's basically, you know, it's an iterative deal. These guys, there's a very real correlation to the digital stuff. And so it's not just a dry run. It's an iterative, protracted struggle, war. And so, you know, iteration after iteration is just kind of the relentless onslaught, and you can see that based on what happened, if that continues, the next wave of that will be far more tyrannical and oppressive, and it's approaching David Crowley's vision of gray state.
Right. Yeah, evil persists. It doesn't take a day off.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, yeah, thanks for letting me get that off my chest, Chris. The biggest thing for me is these J6. We should all, if the fact that we're not as a society absolutely going apeshit, absolutely amassing outside this prison, is just, that's indicative to how much we don't care. I look around me and there's people, they just don't, they're okay, so they don't care about anybody else. And that's
well,
the problem.
I think it's bigger than that. That you know, I understand your point in saying that, and why, you know, it feels that way, or that's kind of a reductive assessment of things. But I think it's more complex than that, and the psychological forces that have been brought to bear on people, and it's not just psychological. I mean, it's emotional, it's in many cases physical, and even more, you know, those forces that have been brought to bear that have been scientifically researched and refined for decades and decades, that can't be underestimated. And I think that people, you know, we need to extend one another and ourselves a measure of grace and some mercy, because we don't think about that, but these forces are real, and they're it's you know, difficult not to become paralyzed by fear looking around at everything that's going on. But we shouldn't. We should resist the compelling urge to just basically be reduced to a puddle of terror and pray.
We're commanded not to fear, to fear not, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's our command. So I try to go back to that. Anyway, I'll let somebody else get on here. Thanks, Chris. Merry Christmas.
You bet. Merry Christmas to you too, Chris. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Much appreciated, as always. Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Jesus in the boat with a bunch of fishermen, not their first rodeo. But they're terrified. And that's where we are in America today. Anything that can be shaken will be shaken. So, will we be shaken? Back to the phones. David in Wisconsin, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, thanks for getting me on the air with you here, Chris.
Absolutely.
Speaking of progressives, there, you know, there's a good argument that goes both ways. People do want progress in certain areas, like electricity was a great invention and things like that. But the thing about progressives that is absolutely repulsive and repugnant and negative is the hoodwinking factor in language, as you've pointed out different times. Now, as I always try to read a Bible scripture to frame my words as carefully as I can. So I'm going with Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. And then I want to add a couple of comments after that from a couple of other scriptures. And it reads, "And if any man shall take away," and this is from the Authorized Version, 1611. "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Now, I'll get back to that, but now I have in front of me here the RSV, which came much later than 1611 Authorized Version, and it's I'm at Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, in the RSV, the Revised Standard Version. "How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low." Now, in the 1611 AV, Isaiah 14:12 reads, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Now, those two verses are quite different in what is not in there.
Yeah.
The word Lucifer. Now, back in Genesis 3, at the very first sentence in verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." Now, people that are students of history, which includes, obviously, the study of the Bible among all of the other books that people decide to research and study, it's one of these has to be in error.
Right.
Now, and this is an...
We're headed into a break. This song is so crazy. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after the break.
All the world a blanket, white as snow, so cold and crisp, and life is sharp and flowing. We are going onward through the night.
Have you been looking for a trusted, long-term, storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Around the Christmas tree, there you'll see such a happy family. They've come from far away just to spend this day. Gifts for everyone are gathered underneath the tree.
Welcome back.
All around there's
oh, the music. You know, it's so World War II. It's so Bernaysian. And, you know, despite always learning, we just never seem to come to the knowledge of the truth, do we? We're always two steps behind, never quite catching up. And it's like a Encyclopedia Brown, choose your own adventure. You know, I say Arthur Conan Doyle, Encyclopedia Brown, because it's the dumbed down version, and it's a choose your own adventure mystery, but it's really not a mystery, and you're really not choosing your own adventure. You're being led by the nose. Anyway, we're on the phones. David, go ahead.
Yeah, and in the past, now you have walked out on some thin ice a couple of times and mentioned the S word. I'll get back to that. anyway, Now, here's a comparison that I want to prove a point here. Now, this is from, once again, this is from the 1611 authorized version, and I'm quite positive. It's my understanding, anyway, that the letters to the Apostle Peter were written by Paul. Am I correct in that? I think I am, right?
Say that again.
The letters, the epistles that were written to Peter, those were written by Paul, correct? That's my understanding.
You mean 1st and 2nd Peter?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Those are attributed to Peter.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, this is the first letter of Peter, chapter 4, verse 17, in the KJV, the authorized version, 1611.
Maybe if I could just, parenthetically, part of what I was talking about last week in the response, I suppose, to David in Texas, it's not an attack on anyone. I think that people should be asking the question, why are we encouraged to, the progressive view? There's a video that we have queued that we won't get to, but Alyssa Childers, who was one of the three ladies in the Christian pop band Zoe Girl, and I use air quotes when I say Christian pop band. She was on the Babylon Bee. She's magnificent. She did a magnificent job of unpacking so-called progressive Christianity and the talking points of it. And one of the things that she said, they said, can you boil it down for us? And she says, this whole concept of progressivism and progressive Christianity, in particular in this case, deals with the idea that we are more erudite now than we were in the past. And we, so Paul is a great kindergarten teacher, but we're so much more sophisticated now, which is patently false. It's self-evidently false. But she did a good job of talking about that. And so why is Paul getting attacked? And when I talked about Paul, I mentioned Peter. Dave in Texas says, well, aren't you concerned? Doesn't it give you pause that this guy never walked a step with Jesus? I don't know that to be the case, but I understand the point, and I don't dispute the point that he's making there. But Peter did, and they are inextricably linked throughout the New Testament, Peter and Paul. And
yeah,
so,
well, thanks for the clarification. This is the first letter by Peter, chapter 4, verse 17, for the KJV. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now, Amen. In the RSV, see, and I'm trying to tie this together to what I said before, so I hope that most of the listeners appreciate this, about focus on the grandchildren, focus on the family, focus on the this or that or the next thing, as opposed to focus on the Savior, Jesus Christ, and learning how we're supposed to yet live. Anyway, in the RSV, this is in the same first epistle for Peter, chapter 4, verse 17, for the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, my point I want to make here that is I consider important, maybe it isn't, but back to Revelation chapter 22, verse 19, where it says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. Well, there's something added there. So this is what would be called going around the scriptures or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And that would be a hoodwinking.
Yeah.
I do it's have why, one last comment, please.
Absolutely. It's why I mentioned the word eisegesis last week talking about this stuff. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Christmas roses, Christmas roses. Oh, I'm sending Christmas roses.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Xtendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
So, speaking of reading into things, quite literally, that's what eisegesis is by definition, an interpretation, especially of Scripture. This is the Wiktionary definition, by the way. An interpretation, especially of Scripture, that reflects the personal ideas or viewpoint of the interpreter, reading something into a text that isn't there. I mean, that's I concur.
Well, you know, and it causes chaos if there can't be an agreement on at least one central point. Is something mm-hmm. that came before is the standard, and if there's error, and like mm-hmm. Mike, for example, called in when we were in this discussion before, and I'd like to have him call in again and re-remind me about the point he was making about an alleged error in the KJV, because I want to research that. I want this discussion to be pursued, because if we can all agree that the KJV was at least the standard, mm-hmm. that because there were translations before that that were developing, and there are many, many more since then. But and I'll wrap up here with saying this: you're venturing out onto the thin ice with the S word, mm-hmm. because you have a couple of different times mentioned the word selfish and selfishness, mm-hmm. and that's walking on thin ice in this decadent culture. So I applaud you for going out there. I mean it. I think we need to all be a little more humble in our lives and get back to the Word of God and do the textual criticism, not just accept something that someone declares that the KJV is all it is or that. But anyway, thank you kindly again for letting me say my part here.
Absolutely. Much appreciated, David, as always. Yeah. Speaking of Paul and Peter, you know, they both were outspoken about this, but realized this. 2 Timothy 3, realize this, that in the last days, this is the NASB 95. You know, speaking of all of this, you know, and again, are we really more erudite? Are we really more sophisticated and so on and so on? Are we really more enlightened? I mean, how many people do you know? There's the old joke that is as true today as it ever was. What do you call someone who speaks three languages, trilingual? What do you call someone who speaks two languages, bilingual? Multiple languages, you know, maybe a polyglot or something like that. What do you call a person who speaks one language? American? That's the joke. So when we are researching these kinds of things, or kids go to school, you know, 100 years ago, people have observed lately, you know, 100 years ago, pamphlets that were handed out, you couldn't find postgraduate students that could tell you what some of these things mean. Oh, but we're so much more sophisticated. How many people do you know, because they just want to know what God has to say to them? Isn't it? I mean, it is. This book is amazing. A child can learn to read with it. And the most enlightened scholar among us cannot exhaust its resources or plumb its depths. Find me another book like that, that speaks to each person at each moment of every day of their lives. And, you know, that's what the living word is all about. Not that it's a living document and that it needs to be, you know, changed and so on and so on. We can try to lay breadcrumbs for one another, and there might be a certain nobility in that from age to age or generation to generation. As John in Tennessee reminds us, you know, the Proverbs tell us not to move the ancient boundaries. Repeatedly, by the way, we're reminded. But by the same token, I would say we cannot outdo the Holy Spirit in those kinds of efforts. And again, it's fascinating to me. One of the kind of the focal points of my, I don't know, investigation these days is the idea of posthumous publication. One of the greatest examples or illustrations of the point in contemporary society in the last 50 to 100 years is, you know, and I always joke, I don't think Luther would be a Lutheran, Calvin would be a Calvinist, et cetera, et cetera. These writings have been seized upon and used in a very opportunistic fashion, I would say, in many cases posthumously. But the best example, I think, is Jaron Lanier in Jaron Lanier in You Are Not a Gadget, a Manifesto, Actually, let me grab a copy. It's behind me. Hold on one second. Be right back. So I've mentioned this before, and it's fascinating. I can't mention it enough because I think it's profound and provocative. It's Jaron Lanier. I don't, you know, as I always say when I mention this, I don't think that anyone would accuse Jaron Lanier of being a Christian, but he is an apologist in a way. I don't know, maybe secretly he is, but I don't think so. I think, you know, anyway, it's interesting him talking about the singularity and the rapture, two sides of the same coin, I would say, and this deal about Alan Turing. If you are in the technology world, or even if you're not and you've heard the name Alan Turing and you hear about the Turing test, all you know basically without further investigation is, oh yeah, is the machine alive? You know, it's Frankenstein applied to the digital world. This digital homunculus, is it alive? Is it sentient? That's what we know. That's what we've been told by the Kurzweils. But Jaron Lanier reminds us in a footnote on page 31 of You Are Not a Gadget, a Manifesto, Turing's 1950 paper on the test includes this extraordinary passage. Quote, in attempting to construct such machines, we should not be irreverently usurping his, capital H, power of creating souls, any more than we are in the procreation of children. Any more than we are in the procreation of children. Rather, we are in either case instruments of his, capital H, will, providing mansions for the souls that he creates, capital H. You listen to Ray Kurzweil, you will never hear that citation. Why is that? Why is Alan Turing framed in a specific context that completely, you know, we're gaslighted on this. It completely denies this. If you, you know, you watch the movie about Alan Turing. Oh, he's just a weird, reclusive homosexual that we can't bring out in public because of his weird proclivities. And, well, what about this? You read this and you don't have to be a Christian to think this is not what I hear. Where can I learn more about this? You know, again, what we hear and what is presented to us is very reductive. We played the video not long ago about Martin Luther King Jr. as an example of this. He is like Tocqueville's Democracy in America. It's whatever we want it. I mean, Tocqueville's Democracy in America is one of the most widely cited books of American history on both sides, so-called, of the political spectrum. So basically, it is whatever you want it to be, which again gets back to the juxtaposition of eisegesis versus exegesis. And that all sort of goes along with the relativistic view of things. I find it fascinating that, you know, a person's, in my experience, this is an anecdotal observation, but I find it interesting that my anecdotal observation anyway is that when people, whatever they say about truth is sort of revealing of what their view of Jesus Christ is. And As I mentioned yesterday, there are no what you might call fakers. You can't fake it. This is one of those interesting things. 1 Corinthians 12:3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You want to talk about the ultimate polygraph? That's interesting. Why is that? If this is not, there's no reality to this, then why is that? Isn't that fascinating? So, in a similar sense, in John chapter 18, Jesus goes before the priests. There's Peter's denial, and then Jesus goes before Pontius Pilate. And in verse 38, well, you know, they have this exchange. Verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And so Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate's response, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. What is truth? That is a legendary question. And so my anecdotal observation is that, especially in a relativist milieu, people who say, you know, your truth, my truth, speak your truth, whatever. The truth is relative. It's how they feel about Jesus. But again, that's just my anecdotal observation. It's interesting, this concept of truth. Is there, you know, was Jesus speaking accurately in John chapter 8 when he said, if you continue in my word, then you will be my disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free? Was he speaking accurately when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is that time of year where we get to investigate these kinds of questions, I think, really, because we have, again, the duality of our own Western heritage, so to speak, on full display, full regalia. So I've been a little cheeky today with the music, not to offend anyone, but, you know, just to say, hopefully we're not getting too serious. And I'm talking about me as much as anybody. And as I was saying, what was it, yesterday? The lies are not okay, but, you know, we have so many lies. Santa Claus, definitely a myth, definitely, you know, a layered history layer upon layer. I mean, there's the, you know, the good history and the real history and the esoteric and the exoteric and all those kinds of things. But that's kind of in front of you to a certain extent. And there's all kinds of other stuff. Like I said, you know, the clip that we played when we started, you know, the 8 points that John MacArthur made, the lies that predominate our society. Life is random, truth is relative, man is basically good, the highest virtue is tolerance, life really consists in what one possesses, the goal of life is personal satisfaction, you can become anything you want, you can change, and death is a pleasant transition. Those are stubbornly persistent lies that are endorsed in many cases and condoned. What about that? Stick around, we'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
The holly green, the ivy green, the prettiest picture you've ever seen. It's Christmas in Killarney with all the folks at home. It's nice, you know, to kiss your beau while cuddling under the mistletoe. And Santa Claus, you know, of course, is one of the boys from home. The door is always open, the neighbors pay a call. And Father John, before he's gone, will bless the house and all. How grand it feels to click
your heels and joining the fun of the jigs and reels. I'm handing you no brownie. The likes you've never known is Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home.
Percy Faith and the Shillelagh Singers. Anyway, back to the phones. In the interest of time, final segment. Patrick in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Hello, sir.
Is there any, yeah, you know, speaking about Kurzweil and what they got planned for the us in the future, transhumanism. But they use the CRISPR technology. It's kind of like a you know, an old-fashioned magnetic tape in a CD in a cassette. Mm-hmm. You know, they can go into the DNA and then you snip out a piece, add a piece, and that records that, and they can, it'll play back at will. But mm-hmm. that's only the receiver part of it. You know, what about the transmitter? You know, mm-hmm. in the 1870, a guy by the name of Keeley, K-E-E-N-L-Y. He developed a sympathetic vibratory device, much like Tesla with his earthquake device. Whenever you find a resonant frequency, you know, there's a bridge they had in San Francisco when it was started vibrating along with all the sound of the wind and the traffic, and the damn thing just fell apart because it hit that resonant frequency. Yep. And so there's more to that, so nature operates on a different level. You have to get into the field, what we call the fractal, and back to the religious aspect. You have to be compassionate. Compassionate is compassion is also compression, and everything is about implosion, and it's like you got an explosion. It's a red flame. An implosion is a blue flame, and it's still powerful, but it's a different kind of powerful. And if you want to get into the field, you have to do implosion, and that comes through compression with the heart. I mean, compassion, compression, and whenever like a shaman will be able to, he can steer a tornado because he feels the pain of the tornado. Using compassion and as a power that he could, like John Dee when the Spanish fleet, he stirred the tornadoes into the fleet. But you have to be attuned with nature, and all this artificial transhumanism stuff does not get you there. It'll affect you. Yeah, it'll mess you up. But that's not getting you where you need to be. You need to be with nature.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing I want to get across to you.
Appreciate it. Much appreciated, Patrick. I would say, in the final analysis, we should choose to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Like he was asleep in the ship. You know what? He's not concerned. He's not alarmed or terrified or fearful. Neither should we be. And like I said yesterday, Philippians 1:28 in the NASB 95 in particular comes to mind for me. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was edifying. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side. Proclaim Christ is born in Bethlehem.